Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Sunday morning, April 23rd episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Would definitely recommend you get over there. We've got near 60 different podcasts, variety of topics. We've been carefully vetted before we've even been allowed to become a member. So you'll find it's very trustworthy content. Okay, definitely worth your while. Like I said, large variety of topics. So you should be easily able to find what you want to listen to. Fact is, I believe, because I've run into this, is you'll get to a point that there's too much to listen to, that you've got so much you want to listen to and you just don't have the time. And honestly, somebody suggested this to me and I started trying it out. I actually set the speed to 1.5 times. And so I can listen to more. I can fit more in. So anyways, please go give us a listen. I also want to continue to point you at the final link in the show notes. It is for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give, Send, Go campaign. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school. So, go ahead and click on the link. You'll get a much more thorough description of what we're trying to do. And then we would ask 3 things of you. We'd ask for you to pray for us. We'd ask for you to prayerfully consider giving to us. And we would ask for you to pass the link along so that others can do the same. All right. Well, with it being a Sunday, like I'd said, over the weekends, we're going to just do our scripture reading. We're not going to do our Bible study. We'll pick that back up tomorrow evening, God willing. So let's go ahead and get into it. And what we're going to do is we're going to use from Valley of Vision, we're going to use, instead of the first day prayers, we're going to use the Lord's Day prayers, which, you know, I tend to interchange them. And sometimes when I was doing Bible study, I used all 4 of them in that day. But we're going to go ahead and open up with the Lord's Day morning prayer. Let's pray. O maker and upholder of all things, day and night are thine, and they are also mine from thee. The night to rid me of the cares of the day, to refresh my weary body, to renew my natural strength. The day to summon me to new activities, to give me opportunity to glorify thee, to serve my generation, to acquire knowledge, holiness, eternal life. But one day above all days is made especially for thy honor and my improvement. The Sabbath reminds me of thy rest from creation, of the resurrection of my Savior, of his entering into repose. Thy house is mine, but I am unworthy to meet thee there, and am unfit for spiritual service. When I enter it, I come before thee as a sinner, condemned by conscience and thy word. For I am still in the body and in the wilderness, ignorant, weak, in danger, and in need of thine aid, but encouraged by thy all-sufficient grace. Let me go to thy house with a lively hope of meeting thee, knowing that there thou wilt come to me and give me peace. My soul is drawn out to thee in longing desires, for thy presence in the sanctuary, at the table, where all are entertained on a feast of good things. Let me, before the broken elements, emblems of thy dying love, cry to thee with broken heart for grace and forgiveness. I long for that blissful communion of thy people, in thy eternal house, in the perfect kingdom. These are they that follow the Lamb. May I be of their company. Amen. All right, and now our morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for April 23rd. The text is from Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We go to Christ for forgiveness, and then too often look to the law for power to fight our sins. Paul thus rebukes us, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Take your sins to Christ's cross, for the old man can only be crucified there. We are crucified with him. The only weapon to fight sin with is the spear which pierced the side of Jesus. To give an illustration, you want to overcome an angry temper. How do you go to work? It is very possible you have never tried the right way of going to Jesus with it. How did I get salvation? I came to Jesus just as I was, and I trusted him to save me. I must kill my angry temper in the same way. It is the only way in which I can ever kill it. I must go to the cross with it and say to Jesus, Lord, I trust thee to deliver me from it. This is the only way to give it a death, to give it a death blow. Are you covetous? Do you feel the world entangle you? You may struggle against this evil so long as you please, but if it be your besetting sin, you will never be delivered from it in any way but by the blood of Jesus. Take it to Christ. Tell him, Lord, I have trusted thee, and thy name is Jesus, for thou dost save thy people from their sins. Lord, this is one of my sins. Save me from it. Ordinances are nothing without Christ as a means of mortification. Your prayers and your repentances and your tears, the whole of them put together, are worth nothing apart from him. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good, or helpless saints either. You must be conquerors through him who hath loved you. If conquerors at all, our laurels must grow among his olives in Gethsemane. Amen. All right. So now we're going to get into our reading for the day. We're going to be reading Judges 1. So we've moved out of Joshua. We're into Judges. Judges 1 and part of the first 9 verses of 2. Luke 21, verse 29 to the end of the chapter. And then Luke 22, verses 1 through 13. Psalm 90. And then Psalm 91, verses 1 through 16. And then the last two verses of Proverbs 13, verses 24 and 25. All right. So let's get going in Judges 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Now it happened after the death of Joshua that the sons of Israel asked of Yahweh, saying, Who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And Yahweh said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have given the land into his hand. Then Judah said to Simeon his brother, Come up with me into the territory allotted me, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I in turn will go with you into the country allotted you. So Simeon went with him. So Judah went up, and Yahweh gave the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hands, and they struck down 10,000 men at Bezek. Then they found Adoni-Bezek in Bezek, and fought against him, and they struck down the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adoni-Bezek fled, and they pursued him, and seized him, and cut off his thumbs and big toes. And Adoni-Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and their big toes cut off used to gather up scraps under my table, as I have done. So God has repaid me. So they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died there. Then the sons of Judah fought against Jerusalem, and captured it, and struck it with the edge of the sword, and set the city on fire. And afterward the sons of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites, living in the hill country, and in the Negev, and in the Shephelah. So Judah went against the Canaanites, who lived in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. And they struck Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai. Then from there he went against the inhabitants of Debir. Now the name of Debir formerly was Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, The one who strikes Kiriath Sefer and captures it, I will even give him my daughter Aksa as a wife. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, captured it, so he gave him his daughter Aksa as a wife. Now it happened that when she came to him, she enticed him to ask her father for the field. Then she alighted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, What do you want? And she said to him, Give me a blessing, since you have given me the land of the Negev, so you shall give me also springs of water. So Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Now the sons of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up from the city of Palms with the sons of Judah to the wilderness of Judah, which is in the south of Arad. And they went and lived with the people. Then Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they struck the Canaanites living in Zephath, and devoted it to destruction. So the name of the city was called Hormah. Now Judah captured Gaza with its territory, and Ashkelon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory. Now Yahweh was with Judah, and they took possession of the hill country. But they could not dispossess the inhabitants of the valley, because they had iron chariots. Then they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had promised, and he dispossessed from there the three sons of Anak. But the sons of Benjamin did not dispossess the Jebusites who lived in Jerusalem. So the Jebusites have lived with the sons of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. Likewise, the house of Joseph went up against Bethel, and Yahweh was with them. And the house of Joseph spied out Bethel. Now the name of the city was formerly Luz. Then the spies saw a man coming out of the city, and they said to him, "Please show us the entrance to the city, and we will treat you with loving kindness." So he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and all his family go free. So the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and named it Luz, which is its name to this day. But Manasseh did not take possession of Beth Shean and its towns, or Tanakh and its towns, or the inhabitants of Dor and its towns, or the inhabitants of Iblim and its towns, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its towns. So the Canaanites persisted to live in that land. And it happened when Israel became strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but they did not dispossess them completely. Also Ephraim did not dispossess the Canaanites who were living in Gezer, so the Canaanites lived in Gezer among them. Zebulun did not dispossess the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalol, so the Canaanites lived among them and became subject to forced labor. Asher did not dispossess the inhabitants of Akko or the inhabitants of Sidon or of Alab or of Aksib or of Helba or of Aphik or of Rehob. So the Asherites lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not dispossess them. Naphtali did not dispossess the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, and the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath became forced labor for them. Then the Amorites pressed the sons of Dan into the hill country, for they did not allow them to come down to the valley. And the Amorites persisted in living in Mount Perez, in Aijalon, and in Shalbim. But the hand of the house of Joseph became heavy, and they became forced labor. Now the border of the Amorites ran from the ascent of Akrabim, from Sela and upward. All right, Judges 2, verses 1 through 9. Then the angel of Yahweh came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, "I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land which I have sworn to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And as for you, you shall cut no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not listened to my voice. What is this you have done? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they will become as thorns in your sides, and their gods will become a snare to you." So it happened that when the angel of Yahweh spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept. So they named the place Bochim, and there they sacrificed to Yahweh. Then Joshua sent the people away, and the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served Yahweh all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who saw all the great work of Yahweh, which he had done for Israel. Then Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of
Ephraim,
north of Mount Gaash. All right, Luke 21, verses 29 through the end of the chapter. Then he told them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, and you see it for yourselves, know this, that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But be on guard, so that your hearts will not be overcome with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who inhabit the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying earnestly that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now during the day he was teaching in the temple, but during the night he would go out and spend it on the mount called of Olives. And all the people would get up early in the morning to come to him in the temple to listen to him. Luke 22, verses 1 through 13. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was drawing near, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death, for they were afraid of the people. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, who belonged to the number of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. and they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray him to them apart from the crowd. Then came the first day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, so that we may eat it." And they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And he said to them, "Behold, after you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters. And you shall say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare it there." And they left and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. All right, now Psalm 90. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place from generation to generation. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, "Return, O sons of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it blossoms and sprouts anew. Toward evening it withers away and dries up. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to might, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and wickedness. For soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Return, O Yahweh, how long will it be? And be sorry for your slaves. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your slaves, and your majesty to their sons. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish for us the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands." All right, and Psalm 91, verses 1 through 16. He who abides in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadows of the Almighty. I will say to Yahweh, "My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." For it is he who delivers you from the snares of the trapper and from the destructive pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will take refuge. His truth is a large shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of terror by night, or arrow that flies by day, of pestilence that moves in darkness, or of destruction that devastates at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made Yahweh my refuge, the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, and no plague will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the fierce lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will protect him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in his distress. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. All right, and finally, Proverbs 13, verses 24 and 25. He who holds back his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. The righteous eats to the satisfaction of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked lacks. All right. And now the evening devotion for April 23rd from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. The text is from Revelation 5, 6. Lo, in the midst of the throne stood a lamb as it had been slain. Why should our exalted Lord appear in his wounds in glory? The wounds of Jesus are his glories, his jewels, his sacred ornaments. To the eye of the believer, Jesus is passing fair because he is white and ruddy. white with innocence, and ruddy with his own blood. We see him as the lily of matchless purity, and as the rose crimsoned with his own gore. Christ is lovely upon Olivet and Tabor, and by the sea. But oh, there never was such a matchless Christ as he that did hang upon the cross. There we beheld all his beauties in perfection, all his attributes developed, all his love drawn out, all his character expressed. Beloved, the wounds of Jesus are far more fair in our eyes than all the splendor and pomp of kings. The thorny crown is more than an imperial diadem. It is true that he bears not now the scepter of reed, but there was a glory in it that never flashed from scepter of gold. Jesus wears the appearance of a slain lamb as his court dress, in which he wooed our souls and redeemed them by his complete atonement. Nor are these only the ornaments of Christ. They are the trophies of his love and of his victory. He has divided the spoil with the strong. He has redeemed for himself a great multitude whom no man can number. And these scars are the memorials of the fight. Ah, if Christ thus loves to retain the thought of his sufferings for his people, how precious should his wounds be to us. Behold how every wound of his a precious balm distills, which heals the scars that sin has made, and cures all mortal ills. Those wounds are mouths that preach his grace, the ensigns of his love, the seals of our expected bliss in paradise above. All right. Well, that is our readings for today. I hope you have a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. And again, if you haven't already worshiped with the saints this weekend, do so today. We are called to do so. We are ordered to do so. And if we are disobedient, then we're not walking as Christ has set us to do, as God has set us to do. And thus we sin. And that's not what the Christian walk is supposed to look like. All right, let's go ahead and close out in the Lord's Day evening prayer. Let's pray. Most holy God, may the close of an earthly Sabbath remind me that the last of them will one day end. Animate me with joy that in heaven praise will never cease, that adoration will continue forever, that no flesh will grow weary, no congregations disperse, no affections flag, no thoughts wander, no will droop, but all will be adoring love. Guard my mind from making ordinances my stay or trust, from hewing out broken cisterns, from resting on outward helps. Wing me through earthly forms to thy immediate presence. May my feeble prayers show me the emptiness and vanity of my sins. Deepen in me the conviction that my most fervent prayers and most lowly confessions need to be repented of. May my best services bring me nearer to the cross and prompt me to cry, "None but Jesus." By thy Spirit give abiding life to the lessons of this day. May the seed sown take deep root and yield a full harvest. Let all who see me take knowledge that I have been with thee, that thou hast taught me my need as a sinner, hast revealed a finished salvation to me, hast enriched me with all spiritual blessings, hast chosen me to show forth Jesus to others, hast helped me to dispel the mists of unbelief. O great Creator, mighty Protector, gracious Preserver, thou dost load me with loving kindness, and hast made me thy purchased possession, and redeemed me from all guilt. I praise and bless thee for my Sabbath rest, my calm conscience, my peace of heart. Amen. All right, well, again, I hope you go and have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Have a good one. God bless.